You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. Nice little bounce back, fellas. So Wednesday, Duke kind of avoids the hangover effect a little bit. Carolina not so fortunate in that regard. Able to take down the Irish 71-53 at home. Bit of a weird game, fellas, right? Like, and just when you zoom out a little bit, the leading scores at 13. Bunch of other guys chipping in along the way. Not what we would have thought maybe would have seen. Tough game for a few guys. We'll talk about that as well. I'm just going to jump right in to, we start the game off. Well, Notre Dame starts the game off kind of well, right? I think they went up like 5-3 or whatever, but then we immediately respond and it looked like we were about to get one of those like vintage Duke and Cameron like moments where we just kind of 40 minutes of hell, right? Blow the doors off of this team, put up a 30 piece or something. It didn't quite happen, but let's not spoil it too much. Let's at least enjoy that. So I think the first 10 minutes of the game, it's what, 20 to 5 after Foster hits the three. Shu, I'll go to you there. Did you like what you see at that point? Did you think this was going to kind of just run away? Like, walk me through what you were thinking those first 10.
Well, I mean, let me rant for 1 second about the TV schedule.
Yeah.
No. I missed the first, 8 minutes of the game because we're watching Syracuse and Louisville, like, figure out who doesn't want to win that game.
So the best part, basically, right, of the game you
missed. Yeah, exactly. So, all right, ran over. I thought, look, we talked about it. Notre Dame's young, first-year coach. They gave us a game up in South Bend, but, you know, back in Cameron – coming off the loss, I thought that, you know, I wanted to see us kind of get out to a lead and run away with it. Looked like we were going to do that, but then, you know, obviously the last 10 minutes were a different tale. We got outscored like, 18-13, not even 13 in the last.
I think we got outscored by 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or those last 10 there. That was frustrating. And I think we can talk about that a little bit, just this idea of like closing halves. John was asked about it and was like, we're trying to work on it, right? We're implementing stuff. We're talking about it. We're addressing it. It's just not translating. I don't know, man. Those first 10 minutes, though, were about as good as we played probably recently from both ends, right? Like, we can talk about offensively, but just the defense was just like on point all the way across the board. I mean, I think we have to. We've kind of talked about it up and down a little bit. He's really been like the backup QB syndrome this year for most fans. That Sean Stewart moment was pretty eclectic, right? I saw the Harry Giles clip.
Yeah,
that was comparing.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, I didn't even see that on Twitter, but that was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah. I mean, I put it on Twitter as soon as I seen it. I was like,
yeah, that 27, that was the ACC tournament, right?
Yeah.
When he did that, he gets the block. Grayson throws in the little lob.
It's kind of similar because it's a player who has such like athleticism and you have such high hopes for, but hadn't really been able to assert himself.
Yeah.
Obviously yeah, happened at a different time in the year.
Yeah, this one too, though. I mean, this particular play, like he blocked it. I think it was Proctor, like saves it. Like four of the guys touched it. You know, he blocks it. Proctor saves it. Gets it to, was it?
Or Flip tips it up, right? And Proctor saves it to Foster, who then, because Foster throws the lob.
Foster threw the lob.
I knew Foster threw the lob.
So he's streaking down. But three or four guys.
It doesn't really matter. The point is a bunch of people touched it.
Yeah.
Also, I thought what was cool was that it was actually kind of a contested lob.
Yeah.
Like versus the Giles lob was just wide open.
Yeah, but the contest was Burton, I think.
I know, so a small guy.
But the pass was low enough to where it looked. It looked. I think the best part of it, though, is when I go back and watch it, and it kind of cracks me up of how just like, just the way Sean's running. Right? Like he's not even looking. Like he just kind of gets in his head down and just starts like hauling ass down the court.
He was super great. Pumped up. I felt happy for him for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it must be frustrating to, like, you know, you're a top, 15 recruit, and you're not able to quite figure it out, you know? So it felt like a little bit of a cathartic moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the bench too, but before we do that, like, did y'all see anything in particular, and maybe this is related to the bench a little bit, of, like, why we couldn't capitalize on the momentum? And I think some of it is just you go on a 20-5 run, and it's, you're not just going to hold a team to like 7 points, and we're not going to hold a team to 7 points. And we don't really play that way. We're kind of trying to push the pace on them a little bit. Got a little sloppy there. Do y'all attribute it to anything like that we were doing that just lost the momentum? Or do you think it really was more about like we played like 9 or 10 guys in that first half? Like you taking anything from that? I don't know. Roel, I'll go to you first on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I do think a lot of that stagnation happened as we brought in other guys who aren't that used to playing together. Like we brought in Blakes and Stewart together pretty early, and they had some nice defensive possessions, but we couldn't really capitalize on it offensively. And there was a lineup out there at one point that was like Proctor, Foster, Blakes, Stewart, and Mitchell. And it's like, how is that lineup going to score really? You know, I mean, like, it's just, you got two non-shooters, you've got guys who just never play together. It just you could just tell that like there was not any offensive chemistry.
Continuity was just not there with that group. Right, I mean, because Blake's kind of has been MIA for a little bit. I don't know if that's been some like injury thing that's happened or like what's going on with him. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys haven't played big minutes. I mean, TJ's in there for a little bit in the first half, right? Like, it's been a little bit since we saw him. You like that strategy? What do you take that as anything like intentional, sending a message to some guys or like just bouncing back from Carolina? Do you think we're going to see this going forward? Just a one-off? What are you making from that?
No, I thought it was intentional in the fact that, like, you got to play every play, every possession as hard as you can. You know, you can't think John talked about pacing. He thought the guys paced in the Carolina game. You know, so I think it was a message like, and I think he said it before, like, I'm going to play guys that defend and rebound. So, you know, Blake's, for all of his, you know, his, what he can't do offensively. I mean, the guy gets you extra possessions. He plays his ass off. You see him flying in to get rebounds or to keep, you know, balls alive. We had 16 offensive rebounds this game. I mean, that was pretty good. Now, whether or not that's a product of playing Notre Dame and, you know, how young they are or whatnot, but
they're also very small. Like that was super apparent to me in this game, just like their perimeter, especially, is just like three tiny guys. So I think that helped us. But I, even when we were stagnating, I really liked the effort. There were just some great plays. Like Young had a lot of like really tough offensive rebounds. I thought Mitchell had two that were like pretty impressive. I think they were both in the first half. There's the one where he just like flies in along the baseline there, and that small Notre Dame guard just goes flying out of bounds, and then he gets the putback. And then there was another one where he created a shot for somebody else by getting an offensive rebound that it didn't look like he gets. So, yeah, I just felt like I wondered how much of the intensity was a response to John's press conference, and I'm sure whatever he said to them privately after the UNC game, because he made a point of pointing out that we weren't going after loose balls and stuff. And I felt like that was a really concerted effort to do that last night.
Yeah, especially the play where Blake's, and I guess it was Burton, are right there on the baseline, and like they're both going after the loose ball, and Blake's just like, I'm not giving up for this, right? Like, and he knocks it off of him, we get the ball. I hadn't seen that in a while, right? And I think that encapsulates really what Blake's can do. He can guard 1 through 4 a lot of times, especially if they're playing smaller. So yeah, shouts to Blake's, and especially him and Ryan. I mean, Ryan plays, what, 11 or 12 first half minutes with flipping foul trouble. Really opened things up. He wasn't getting killed. Now there's some times where he's going to get shot over too, like in the post, but I think you live with that, especially when he's like rebounding and screening. Got to clean up, and he's gotten called. Like, how many times did he get called for a moving screen? Twice?
At least twice, yeah.
And so that's a turnover on him, right? Yep. Does that count as a turnover on him? I think it does. Yeah. Which are his two turnovers. Yeah, those are his two turnovers then, I guess. Right. So, you know, you take that away, and, you know, I guess. But some of that's on the guards, too. You know, you gotta give him time to get set.
Yep.
Yeah, Tyrese is a little bit like wanting to – you can do that with Flip, because Flip's slipping really and kind of get into short roll. Ryan's actually trying to body a little bit more. So maybe that's the function of some guys helping him out.
I thought he had some really good rim protection though. Ryan
I thought it was fine. Yeah, I thought it was fine. We frustrated that big dude a little bit.
And Notre Dame is a fairly unathletic team, so I think that plays into it, but even so.
Yeah, but they weren't trying to abuse him and just like I was expecting them to just be like, all right, Shrewsbury and Burton are just going to kind of like try to get him isolated and just go to work. And we weren't really getting beat that way by it. So, I think you can say that it was a little bit of an ugly game. However, that's what Notre Dame wants to do, right? Like, I was going back and forth. Well, not going back and forth. I was talking to Becker a little bit, and it's like, do they want to play in like the 50s, right? Like, that's what they want. They're going to muck it up. They don't really get blown out because of the style that they play. I mean, their coach is a disciple of Stevens, right? Like, that's kind of like what they're going for there. I don't know if you take too much away from that, but.
And credit to them for not, you know, when it got to be 20-5, you know,
they didn't fold.
Didn't fold.
Yeah, it came down and hit 2 threes in a row after it was 22-7. So, you know, that cut into it pretty quick.
What about the final play of the half?
Yeah, we got to mention that, right? Because Caleb had, I thought, like a really, really good first half, except for the final, 40 seconds or so where he steps on the baseline. It's like, okay. You don't want that, especially when Jared drained three or whoever it was that he kicked it out to nails the three. The foul. You can't do it. Yeah. Right, you can't even contest really when a dude's streaking, taking a 35-foot transition pull up. Thought it was kind of a soft foul though. Sure. I mean, you know, it's not like he undercut him or anything. The contact at the arm was minimal, but the ref's right there. Right, he's literally
I think he got into his.
Get into his space. Yeah,
so he couldn't got into land. His space. Right, you know.
Yeah. Freshman mistake, right? The kid's a freshman. It's like, yeah. Everything else, then, I think I put on Twitter. I mean, he has the highest offensive rating on the team last night. So I can't bash too much from that. I thought he was really, like, pushing the ball well. We were really trying to push that first half. We were getting up and down. I love seeing that a little bit. For all the free throw woes that we had last night, and Caleb's not known to be our best or even probably one of our top four best. Like, he's 4 for 4.
Yeah.
From the line, had some good stuff. The three looked good when he hit that one off the offensive rebound. Had some stuff in the lane that looked okay. I thought his defense was okay last night. 2 assists to 1 turnover. So that one stepping on the baseline was the only turnover that he had in 25 minutes. Pretty good game.
Yeah.
Right. Pretty good game. We need that version of Caleb. Like, we haven't really gotten consistently that. Part of that, I think, might be his role. But what was nice to see, you brought it up, Shu, go ahead, what do you got to say about it? you didn't like that first half, the end?
I just thought, you know, after Caleb's hit the three on us, has anybody else hit a three at the end of the half? I know Roach hit one against Louisville. I don't know if anybody else did it to us, but I don't know, I didn't know if that was going to us, like, just don't give up this at the half, but he got a little too close.
Yeah, I mean, curious. I don't know. Were we in? How many fouls do we have in the first half? Anyone know?
I don't think it was a lot.
I don't think it was a lot either. Maybe it was more that I'm thinking of. I'm usually a fan of like, why not just foul if you can, you know, like not the way he fouls, but like on the catch, just, you know,
if you got a foul to give.
Yeah, give a little touch there. And we might have been over the limit, would have put him at the line. So I think the kid, what, he made two or three. Is that what it was?
He made
two or three. So, which, you know, gave them a little bit of momentum, I guess, heading into the half. So that's never really ideal. Fortunately, we were able to come out of the half and kind of get control of the game a little bit, but we really played them pretty evenly, I guess, until we started to kind of pull away again.
One thing out of the half that I did like, and I'm pretty sure it was Brian Geisinger that I heard in the press conference bring it up, but first two plays of the second half, we ran the same play, the same
the flare screen to McCain.
McCain got the three. Well, then Mitchell gets the roll on the second one. And then we ran it a couple minutes later and Mitchell got the dunk off of it.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've been, you know, wanting us to do more of. I feel like Virginia with Jerome and Guy used to kill with that. So when you can have McCain, you have Proctor that can catch that and hit it. Roach can do the same thing, and then you have Mitchell or Flip rolling off of that. You got a lot of options there.
Yeah, I heard that question, and the whole time I was thinking, no offense to people that ask questions in press conferences, but I was like, man, I'd like to just have a whole sit down with Brian and John and just like pick his brain on what we're doing and how we're like running stuff. Love that. So let's talk about the assist, though, because we run that play. We get the off foot being the hub, right? Find McCain off the flare. Y'all starting to get concerned at all about our assist to turnover ratio? It's not bad still, but we had been maybe prior to the last week or so. I'd have to check what it is now. We're still top 10 in turnover percentage, but I think we were like 2 or 3 or 4 or something for like a while there. Assist numbers have kind of dropped. I thought we at times were playing a bit too like sporadic and too fast a little bit. Y'all concerned about that at all? Or do you just kind of chalk it up as like maybe guys are just trying to make a play, trying a little bit too hard? I mean, you think we're running too much ISO stuff? Like, I don't know anything to make of that. Or is that just, you just chalk it up to maybe Notre Dame kind of forced us into playing that way?
Well, that's part of it for sure. Cause, you know, as we talked about in the preview, they got those crazy splits where they can't really score the ball, but they do play defense. So yeah, that's a bit of it. But, you know, just as I was talking about a second ago with that one flare screen play, I mean, that got us 3 assists out of our, 13 right there. Huh. You know, to me, I felt like there was a lot of, I don't know how much ISO. I know there was a lot of flip spin moves where, you know, there's not a lot of passings going on in that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Raul, what do you think? You see anything different on that, or you just kind of chalk it up to, that's kind of what Notre Dame does. I think the margin of victory last night is only one team has beat them by more than we did last night, I think. So
we also scored the most against them, the second most against them that they've allowed in ACC play. Miami scored 73. So, you know, we had, you know, theoretically the second best offense against them, despite missing a bunch of free throws. Like if we had made our free throws, this would have been, and we had made our usual amount of threes, this would have been an 81-82 point game. Yeah. Well, there's a couple factors I could think of. First of all, Notre Dame is a pretty good defense, like Shu mentioned. And of course, before that, we played North Carolina, who at the time was the number 4 defense. So you're playing 2 good defenses in a row. You know, they're not going to let you. And actually, North Carolina is like highly ranked at not allowing assists on made baskets. So they kind of force you into ISOs in some way. And then the other thing is we just haven't made our threes in the last few games. Yeah. So that'll contribute to it too, right? If you make 2 or 3 more threes, then you have 15, 16 assists.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Because almost all the threes that we take are all passes, assist, right?
Yeah. Like exactly. Highly assisted. I think 90% of McCain's threes, not McCain, sorry. 90% of Flip's threes are assisted, 80% of McCain's, like 80% of Roach's, like 100% of Mitchell's. That's not surprising though, but. Yeah.
I'm surprised he made 2% of McCain. I feel like McCain likes to take a lot of Well, I guess those transition ones are slower.
The transition three still counts as an assisted, though, right? Because it's usually passing up to him, two or three dribbles, boom, and I think that'll still count. Yeah.
Another quick point on that. Early in the game, it seemed like we were trying to get Flip in the short roll, and I thought that Notre Dame really defended it well on like four straight possessions. What I saw that they were doing is they were collapsing two players on him very quickly so that he didn't have time to like assess and make a pass, but he also didn't have a lane to the basket.
Yeah.
You know, and that first one, he basically traveled and they didn't call it, and then it went out of bounds. So it was a turnover anyway. And then like the next couple, I don't remember what happened, but he didn't get a good shot out of it.
Yeah.
So I thought that had something to do with it too. I thought that they had a pretty good game plan, and I wonder, you know, just are we getting to that time in the year when our pet plays have been so well scouted that we kind of got to pivot a little bit?
Yeah, yeah, because we run the same stuff quite a lot, right? And a lot, I mean, why not? It works at a high level for the most part. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they were very intentional about how they defended Flip, I thought. They made his night very tough. And we'll talk about Flip. I think he deserves his own segment a little bit. But let's take a short break, and then we'll do some player spotlight stuff.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's come back. Let's bring this segment back. I'm glad to see this back on the outline here. Shouts to Shu for that. So I'll go to you first here, Shu. Who do you got as the player spotlight on the Notre Dame game? Shrewsbury?
Yeah. probably my guy Jared McCain. He's been on a tear lately. Conference play, you know, start of the season, those non-three-point shots that he was taking wasn't, you know, high success rate. But lately, man, I mean, he's been killing it, using his body, coming through the lane like a, you know, a running back, shielding the ball.
Yeah.
Had that one that he hit left-handed, and I think he stared Shrewsbury down.
Flashes of Trevor Keels on that. Yeah, a little bit, right? Yeah. Bulldog
Yeah, so, and look, and he plays hard on both ends. Now, we've talked about, you know, how people can shoot over the top of him, but he's, you know, typically at least on top of him and not lost anywhere. You know, he's there. Just plays hard, been rebounding the ball too, so shout out to him. I think he's only had two single digit games in the last like 14 or 15. Yeah. And then I think Raul has maybe the numbers that he's shooting 2-point percentage in conference play, or lately at least.
Well, I just split it into, I think they even talked about it on the broadcast. Corey Alexander might have mentioned that after his first 8 games, he's played really well. So if you look at his first 8, he was shooting 30% from 2, which is obviously horrific. He was shooting well from 3 even then. But in the 14 since then, he's been shooting 60% from 2. And I think, you know, just even just looking at the eye test, he's just been a lot stronger with the ball. He's shielding it really well. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I've noticed. You know, the 3-point percentage has dropped off a little bit in conference, but still just, you know, great efficiency overall. The scoring's gone way up too, of course. Yeah.
Never turns it over, basically, yeah. Right? Like, yeah.
He only got 2 3-pointers up in this game, which was, you know, maybe that's by design that Notre Dame was not going to let him get loose for 8 or 10.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
If I was a coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's at 16 points per game over his last 14 games after starting the season being like more of like an 8-point per game guy. So big difference.
Mm, yeah. What was he? Was it 1 for 2? Is that what you said? 1 for 2 from 3?
Yeah.
Tough night from 3 again. But I think Tyrese and Jeremy both shot 5, 1 of 5. And
yeah.
You know, that's tough. Tyrese has been really good in conference shooting the ball. So it's like maybe that can come back at some point. He's had two games in a row where that hasn't been the case so much, but it's been 40% in conference. So, I mean, at some point you're hoping that's going to keep
He seems
keep
to
ticking.
Be streaky in the sense of not streaky, like back. It's like he'll have like 4 good game, really good games in a row, and then he'll have like several bad games in a row. So I don't know what's up with that, but and then Roach, it's like, how much is the injury stuff just bugging him?
It looked like a few times there, he was kind of like limping a little bit, or kind of favoring it a little bit there.
Because that was easily one of his 2 or 3 worst games of the year. You know, he played good defense and stuff. He wasn't taking bad shots either. Just, I mean, he goes 3 of 10, I think.
Yeah. And we've talked about this too, right? Jeremy kind of like has like a pulse on things of like, if the game starts to kind of become like, okay, I can just become a game manager. I can kind of take a back seat a little bit, not like taking plays off, but like, I don't need to hunt my shots. I don't have to be as aggressive. Things are kind of rolling. We've seen when it matters, when it gets a little tight, especially in the second half, he can take over a game if he needs to. So
especially like the more important, bigger games,
Bigger games. Yeah. Where some of our other guys haven't quite shown that they can do that. And, at that level yet. So, all right. Shouts to Jared Raul. Who are you taking?
I guess we mentioned him a bit earlier, but I'll take Sean Stewart. I thought it was nice to see him get in early. And then of course we've already talked about the fantastic lob. I just thought, you know, he still tends to overthink, I think, and he maybe moves a little bit fast. Like there was that one roll he caught in the lane where he traveled, and that's because he like picks up his dribble and he doesn't want to make a mistake. And I think like it would be better to just go up and just try to like hammer it, even if you get a charge or something. That's better to me than just like picking up the ball and traveling because you're like overthinking. So there were some like a few negative moments, but I thought he was like very active on defense. And I really liked what we were doing with him defensively. Like, he's definitely much more of a switch and recover big than he is like a drop big. And so when he's out there, we can play more aggressive defensively. And I liked bringing in Blakes and him together. Because you have him, Blakes, and Mitchell out there, the offense can get a little bit dicey. But we had that one really nice trap in the corner with Blakes and Foster. And then, of course, we blew the layup and then blew the dunk. But I thought that was a lineup that could really had a lot of athleticism and could really like pressure.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of the proper use of Stewart. Like, if we're going to have him out there, he should be hedging way out and then getting back. Defense. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And two, it's like, it's weird that I feel like we've probably only attempted like 5 or 6 lobs all year, and probably 4 of them are to Sean, right? Like, he's the only guy that's really able to kind of put that level of rim pressure up there.
And we missed that from last year, right? You know,
yeah, like, we're doing it all the time, kind of. I mean, even like non-intentional lobs, and we were just kind of putting it up off the glass and just lively go figure that out, right?
Like, it's such a release valve, you know. It's like having that on the back line there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shouts to Sean. That was nice to see him get that too. Especially three steals. Three steals, a block, only one turnover, five rebounds, 11 minutes. That's what we need.
11 is the most he's played in a while. And that was also, not to make this about the whole bench, but that was also our first Blakes and Power sighting in quite some time, right? Yeah. Blakes hadn't played in the last three, I think, or maybe four.
Three.
Yeah. And Power, I don't even know how long it's been.
It's been a little bit of a
minute. We mentioned this offline, but Power's got to get shots up if he's going to be in the game.
Yeah. We got to run some stuff for him.
Across the board,
we gotta,
zeros.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, you got to give him kind of like the Andre Dawkins treatment a little bit of like, right, come into the game, we're going to run some stuff like that's designed to get you two or three quick looks from three. If you make two of them, we'll run some more for you, right? If not, yeah, see you next week. You know? Like, that's kind of the Dawkins treatment there, where he could have like 20 and a half and then just like not even play hardly the second half or something. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I'll round it out here. I'm going to take Mark. I thought Mark was great. I thought he was great on both ends. I thought he was really good defensively. He's not getting a lot of shots recently. I was hoping that he'd be more aggressive in the Carolina game, but he's finishing like at an incredible rate at the rim right now. You mentioned some of the offensive rebound. I thought the like most impressive one where it looked like the ball was like out of bounds or going out of bounds, but he just corrals it and then just goes right back up through traffic, finishes it. That was impressive. Has the cut where he had that dunk. I thought he was pretty decisive, like trying to drive and get to the rim, drawing fouls. He's really good at being able to pick up fouls. Now, he did miss randomly
four straight,
which is just not who he is. Despite the 3-point percentage, his free throw rate has actually been really good. His free throw percentage has actually been really good. So, I thought he was our best player on both ends. I think he can play in any lineup. If you kind of dig into some of his stuff, like his efficiency right now is off the charts, even with the threes not still being there. He's third in conference in offensive rating at this point, right? Like, I maybe hot take, maybe a little bit reactionary here because we're going to talk about Flip in just a second. But if I'm running stuff through the post or if I'm like posting someone up, I want it to be Mark at this point. Like, he's crafty, he can finish with either hand. That ability to use that left hand the way that he does, some of it looks unorthodox. Like two of those layups he made look like, how did that go? But it went, and he's consistently getting them to go. So it's not just like fluky, in my opinion. I thought he's been great, man. Despite, especially when you factor in he's 4 of 29 from three.
Yeah.
To stick with it, right? To just stick with it and to keep doing the things that you do well. Now, granted, he's the 30% free throw or 3-point shooter in conference. He's only attempted 10, but he's made three, you know.
I'll take that at this point.
So I just wanted to kind of highlight him a little bit. I thought he's been rock steady for us. Thought he's been super solid. Doesn't get talked about a whole lot, you know, but just maybe that's his personality a little bit. But another strong outing from Mark.
Ten rebounds, too. Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that. And speaking of the post-ups, I think we ran a couple, like, set plays for him. There was one stretch where we just weren't scoring and we had a timeout and we ran a play for him to get a post up out of the timeout. He got on the right block and he like made a bunch of like really nice kind of like pivot moves. And that might be one of the ones where you're talking about where he banked it off the glass and it did not look like it was going to go in, but then just kind of, he has a soft, like, I feel like if he shoots with one hand, it's like actually a soft shot.
Yeah.
It's when he's shooting from the 3-point line with two hands that it's not.
Yeah, there's just no room for error on that shot, you know. But yeah, shout out to Mark. Four offensive rebounds too. You might have mentioned that, but 10 overall, no turnovers.
Double double against Notre Dame up there too, didn't he? That was his big game.
23, yeah. 23, I think, in that game.
Yeah. He went on a tear there for a while. So, and he's been the MVP in what, 1, 2, 3, 4 of our conference games. So, and he seems to always just be steady. He plays a lot of minutes. He can play with any lineup.
I might have talked about evanmia.com has like him being in most of our best lineups, and like even if you start running two man and three man combinations, he's in all of them.
Yeah, Yeah, and in double figures in every game that he's played in since the injury, outside of the Clemson game or the Virginia Tech game, which was just we went off and everyone was and he randomly had 6 turnovers that game, which is just like absurd. He hasn't had any turnovers in any of the other games since his energy or since the injury, but he had 6 against Virginia Tech. So I think you kind of you just overlook that a little bit. He might have like 8 total turnovers combined across all the other games he's played in or something crazy.
Well, he doesn't try to dribble that often. So that probably helps. But you know, in that Stewart lineup I mentioned with him and Proctor and Foster and Blakes and all that, he was actually guarding the center in that lineup. And I know Notre Dame's small, but I'm like wondering if we could do that a bit more when Flip's out of the game, so we don't have to rely on Young if the matchup isn't good.
Yeah, I agree. Well, for a second time, fellas, let's talk briefly here just about Flip. There's been a lot of talk about body language, about frustration, about just the strong face, right? The maybe not so strong face at times. Earl, you mentioned this offline, and I think this is an interesting point. Y'all think Flip's hurt? Things banged up?
Yeah, I mean, it's just pure speculation on my part. So, you know, I could easily be wrong. I was just watching the way he was moving last night. And for some reason, you know, so a friend of mine had noticed the same thing independently of me, which makes me think there might be some validity to it. Just watching him go back up and down the court, it's like he just wasn't moving at all, really. Like it was almost like he was in pain or something, or just super tired for whatever reason. So that's kind of what I noticed. Also, he has no confidence in his shot right now.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a mental thing, but maybe it's also like a question of lift. Like if his, you know, hip is hurting again, or if his foot or something, you know, again, it's just kind of trying to give him some benefit of the doubt and not assume he's just like pouting or, you know, being lazy or something. Cause I really don't think it's that. He's always played hard.
Well, and again, it's like that idea of if something is wrong physically and it starts to linger, it becomes a psychological mental thing. Like I've dealt with that too. Like you get an injury and it's like you wake up in the morning or you go to do something and you're just like, oh, can I do this? Right. Like, can I? And then your body starts to work around it and compensate for it. And if you're talking about shooting mechanics or lift or anything like that, you cannot afford any like trying to work around any compensation, because then it just completely throws off what you do. Basketball is all about repetition, right? Free throws, repetition, threes, repetition. If you start to do something differently, it's one we haven't tried to fix Martin's shot in the middle of the season, right? Like you just can't really do it. It makes sense. It makes sense.
We talked about it preseason. Like, you know, he's going to move over to the five and he took a beating last year.
Teams are attacking him constantly too.
And that's the thing is like the last couple games, like that people, they're going after him, Flip. You know, they're trying to get him in foul trouble. They're trying to play him physically. So I can see that taking its toll on him for sure. Definitely.
Something's there, right? I think I posted on Twitter. If it's not an injury, it's like, this is a dude where like he's from New York, right? Like take this dude to Rucker Park or wherever and like let him go on the playground. Let him just play. Like remember what it's like to have fun playing this, right? Like it almost is similar to kind of, not that it is, but how Grayson got for a little while there after everything. Yep. And it's like, man, this kid needs to just have fun playing again. Just remember what it's like to just run the floor and see that shot go in and just enjoy what you're doing. He doesn't look like a guy that's having fun.
Lot of pressure on himself. I think he's hard on himself. And look, what did Flip average last year? 15 or 16 points? Was that a byproduct of, you know, the team that was around him at that time last year? Maybe, you know, having Lively in the paint afforded Flip to kind of not get scouted the way he does now, and maybe should have averaged 12 points, and we shouldn't be projecting so far ahead for this year, and he wouldn't have these expectations. But problem is we do have these expectations, and he does too.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like he has them too. I mean, his numbers across the board are up from last year, right? Just like all of them are up.
He's just having a really rough stretch is what it amounts to. And so I was just kind of like looking around for explanations. I was watching him closely because – I wasn't able to watch live last night, so I was just able to go through very slowly, knowing we won the game without any emotions, and I was paying attention to little things like that. So I mean, just pulling up his last five games, I don't want to rub like salt in the wound, but this is, mind you, this is with a good Carolina game where he was great offensively. 42% from the field, 12% from three, 54% from the line, and only 14 points per game. Still rebounding okay with 8 rebounds. And 4.2 fouls a game too. So that's been a trend all year, even when he was playing better. So negative assist to turnover ratio too. So yeah.
Who was 17 from three in those five, right? I think that's what it is. After going like he had that crazy tear where he was 4-4, 4-5, and then 3-6. So he's shooting like 85% for a three game stretch. And then he's basically shooting Mark Mitchell stats after that. Like,
I just felt like the mechanics looked much more fluid at that point in time when he was shooting well. There's just something awkward right now, you know, and whether it's just like hesitation, self-doubt, or whether it's injury, I don't know.
He's still taking them from that left wing, right? That was a spot during that stretch, was like either top of the key or left wing where he was making.
It's just something's off, but there's either just a psychological he doesn't trust it.
Now he's just passing them up a little bit, you know. So like two examples from the game yesterday was like he caught at the top of the key wide open and then tried to drive and he ended up getting fouled. But if he hadn't gotten fouled, that drive wasn't going anywhere. There were like three people in the paint. And then the other is like the first play of the game where he lost the ball out of bounds. When he caught it, he was completely open from like 12 feet. And I'm like, I know Flip can make that shot. We've seen him make a bunch of turnaround jumpers. Just no thought of even taking it.
Yeah. And I'm going to give him a little bit of credit here. And then we're going to kind of move on. Flip has only played less than 20 minutes once this year. And that was a November game against Bucknell where he played 16. And if you want to take a little bit of Golliverism here and utilize the greatest ability is availability, the guy's always available, even when he's bad, right? He's out there, he's fighting. It's kind of why I was such a RJ stan at times, because it's like, dude, I know he's showing up right now. He might be 2 of 15 tonight, but the dude's going to show up and he's going to play and he's going to do what he's supposed to do, which is get shots up. Now you could argue that maybe that shouldn't have been his role. Well, that's fair, but he didn't set the roles, right? Like, so it's like, that's what he's been empowered to do. That's what he's going to do. He's going to show up every night. He's going to play. He's going to be available. You don't have to worry about that. He's going to take a hard fall. He's going to get up and play. And so I'll give Flip a lot of credit for that. It's a long season. You're playing the five. That takes some bruising to do that. And you're asked to do a lot on offense as well. I mean, we just all gave Proctor a pass from having to guard RJ for a single game in his offense. Flip might deserve a little bit of that same treatment too. You know, he's probably not going to get it just for all the other factors mentioned. But
I thought his defense was still good in this game. Like, yes, he fouled, but his rotations and stuff were on point.
Still had a lot of offensive rebounds. Still was passing the ball pretty well. It's just the shot there, and that could be a function of just being tired, maybe needing a game off or something. I don't know. We just can't afford to give him one. So,
that's just the offense without him out there, right?
Or the defense. or the defense at times. Now, last night it was okay, but I mean, for the most part. So. We'll table Flip from now. I think it's just maybe a little bit of a slump. It wouldn't surprise me for him to kind of pick things back up. I mean, like to get him rolling by mid-February, going into March, getting back kind of confident. John mentioned that I got to help him, right? We got to put ourselves in better positions to help him out. Got to get that guy going, man. Let's talk about BC right quick, fellas, and then let's get out of here. We haven't played BC yet, so I think it's at least worthy of talking about them. They're not your like last several year kind of like just complete bottom feeders. You know, they're a top 100 KenPom team. They're 13-9 overall. They've been scrappy in conference. They won at Georgia Tech, something that we couldn't do, something that Carolina couldn't do. They played Wake Forest pretty close. You know, they were with North Carolina for a little while there, and then Carolina kind of took it away. They swept Notre Dame. They beat Syracuse. They lost by one at home the other night to Florida State. So they can be competitive. It's going to almost be like the inverse a little bit of the Notre Dame game, where BC doesn't really defend, but they can actually score if you're not defending. So maybe that's something to consider here. KenPom projects at 82-69 win. We just talked about Flip. Bro, I think maybe we should talk about this post-Flip matchup. How concerned are you with that, or what should we maybe be looking for in that matchup?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a tough matchup. If you guys remember last year, I think Post had 16-6 against us, and that was a tough game that we won by maybe 1 point at BC. And Post actually had the go-ahead basket in that game that would have won it for them if we didn't kind of pull it out the end there. I forget exactly how that game went.
Mark Mitchell got like a block late, right? To seal it or something.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and then maybe there were some free throws at the end or something. You know, there's usually a controversy when we win a close game, right?
Of course.
Always a controversy somehow. Anyway, yeah, so Post, he's kind of more of a finesse big. So really good shooter for a big man, 43% from three, 80% from the line, you know, shoots well from two as well. Just an effective player overall, but not like, you know, a super physical guy. But the reason it's an interesting matchup is because of his ability to kind of be outside of the paint and what that could do to our defense, depending on how Flip plays and whether we have to bring in Ryan. So that would be my biggest concern there. Like, you know, Flip, I think, can guard the perimeter fine. I think he'll handle Post okay. But if Post is dragging him out, then there's nobody. We don't have a second rim protector. You know what I mean? Right.
And so if they start backdooring or if they start doing, you know, letting their guards drive, there's no one there to really contest.
Yeah, that's where Mitchell has to really be on point as well. Yeah. But then if Flip gets like three or four fouls, then it's like, then I think you have to put Mitchell on Post maybe. And even though Post could maybe shoot over the top of him because he's 7 feet tall, I think that's better than putting Ryan on him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of matchups here. I think, you know, I really would like to have Mark kind of peg one of those 6'7", 6'6", forwards they got, like the Prince of Ligue Bay guy, as a guy who's not a killer, but he strikes me as someone that, like, you got to kind of keep him in check, right? The McLaughlin kid too is another guy. They're both sophomores. I think Post is the key, right? That he's a what, fifth year senior, 7 foot, 235. Yeah. Like, he's a beast. He's a big dude. And I'm hoping that he's going to play soft and just want to kind of hang on the perimeter. And if he wants to get threes up, I mean, he's a 43% 3-point shooter, but he doesn't take a ton. I mean, he takes a decent amount, but not a ton. That's a big matchup there. Shoe, what are you making of that? You taking Flip in that matchup? Is this a bounce get right game for Flip, or are you a little concerned?
No, I think it's Flip's. He's due for a good one here. You know, the schedule is not getting any easier. So, you know, like you said, I'd like to get Flip start to roll in here in the next couple of games, because what, after this one, we got Wake, and then we start a couple road games, right?
Well, I know we got three on the road after we play. Wake at home.
Yeah, Wake twice in the next couple of weeks. So, I'd like to see Flip get right, you know, see a shot go in, because, you know, Post is going to do the exact same thing that Flip's been trying to do to people, drag the big guy out and hit a couple threes. That's where his advantage is.
Yeah. And I'd like to try to run them off the 3-point line if we can, right? They shoot 36% as a team. I think that's a big key to this game, or something that I'd like to really consider, is who's going to win that 3-point battle. We've kind of hit a little bit of a lull there the last two games. To our level of playing, right? Like, we've been almost close to 40%. So, like, we haven't been that these last two. Definitely don't want to let them start to, that's the equalizer, right? Yep. If you let them get up and they're 10 of 21 from three, we're going to have probably a problem there. So need to get out, contest, run them off that line.
I wonder see what we can do. Could be a game for the bench again, maybe.
I'd like to see Stewart play a big role in this one too.
Just because I feel like if we are trying to run them off the line, I feel like guys like Blakes and Stewart are equipped to do that.
Mm. Yeah. And I'd like for us to get up a lot of threes too, and try, because that's one, that's one area where they've been a little susceptible of, like, you know, you can get up some shots over there. So, you know, I guess just for the sake of keeping this somewhat contained here, you taking the spread here. I mean, KenPom's got an 82-69. How you feel about that, Rulo? I'll go with you on that one. You taking that cover?
Yeah, I'm actually feeling pretty good for some reason. I just feel like Shire's comments about, like, trying to help flip out and stuff. Usually when you hear stuff like that, then there's like this process over like 3 days where he's like really working with Flip and they're implementing some new plays and stuff like that. I think we could see that pay off. And then I just feel like, you know, based on, I know it's just based on the last game, but like, I just feel like we're in a fairly good place mentally as a team. It seems like, even despite the Carolina loss.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I'm going to take us to win by 15, 16.
Okay. I can take it. Or Shu, would that track with you? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to be like a 30-point win, our biggest win of the season or anything. Was so the KenPom spread's what, 17 or 18?
13.
Oh, 13. Yeah, I could see us getting by with 15.
Okay. All right. So not super bullish on the matchup, but feeling like we're going to cover. Yeah, that's about where I'm at. 13 seems right. Like 82-69 seems like a viable score there. I think we might be able to hold them a little under that. We'll see. I don't know if the pace is going to be quite that to be able to get 82-69. Just the tempo. They don't play particularly fast, and we definitely don't play particularly fast. We're both kind of middle of the pack there. I think we're 167. They're 186. So it's going to kind of be that type of game. So possessions might limit that a little bit. I'm not going to predict a loss here at home. I'm feeling pretty decent about it. I will say that what I'm hoping part of helping Flip is changing kind of how he defends and how we defend, because that one foul, like, he can't jump and get it, but it's like, man, Roach, you got to stay in front of that guy, man. Like, we can't just keep letting guards kind of beat us, because Flip's not quite that guy, right? Yeah. Like, now his block percentage is great, but it's not where he needs to really having to be recovering and covering up mistakes. Yeah. That's not the type of good defender that he is. He's a good defender, but that's not really like his strength. Like, that's a Lively strength, right? That's a Cooper Flagg strength. Those are good help side, weak side defenders. Flip's great one-on-one. He's great. Like, he can do those things. That's where the fouls tend to start to pick up a little bit. So maybe we can help him out there a little bit, keeping the game, but yeah, I'll take us to cover as well. I'll say Duke by about 14 or 15. I think that sounds about right. We haven't really been able to we just talked about it, right? About keep getting this huge separation. So I don't know if that's something that just happens overnight, but it would be nice to see us play well, because Wake Forest is going to be one of the better teams that we've, I mean, outside of Carolina, they'd be the best team that we've played in a month and a half since Baylor.
Yeah, we don't have an easy in quotes, right? Because I don't want to take anything for granted, but we don't have like an easy game again until Louisville.
Yeah.
Everything else is like top 60, top 70, something like that.
Yeah.
We get Louisville at home, right? So
That one we should be all right, but yeah, you never know with this team. They're so Jekyll and Hyde that it's like nothing would surprise me. Like, it would not surprise me if we struggled against BC and won by like 4. It would not surprise me if we won by 30. Like, but actually 30 would be more surprising because of the inability to kind of just like put teams away.
Separate. Yeah. Need to take care of business. Hopefully they will feel good about it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But let's get out of here. We've ran long already again. Of course, right. Yeah. We're notorious about doing that here. Again, we appreciate everyone. Rate, review, subscribe. You can find us in all the usual and sometimes the unusual places. You can find us on the boards at thedevilsden.com. You can find us on X/Twitter at devilsdenpod247. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. I don't think I missed anything else there, right? So keep the faces strong and the verve high. Good.